Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Humble, Mr. Gracious, at your service. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. That's what you're saying, aren't you? That's the story I'm sticking to. Joel Barker is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a red-letter day for me when Joel joins us. Joel's been one of my heroes for a long time. He's the author of a number of books, including Future Edge, and including his newest book is Five Regions of the Future. And he's also an outstanding filmmaker. His latest film is called The Verge. On the Verge, I'm not saying it exactly right. He'll correct me in a second. But he's our good friend. Joel Barker, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. And it's Innovation at the Verge.
Innovation at the Verge. How could I forget that? This is, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm having like early onset today or something, Joel. I'm not sure what's going on today. I'm having a little trouble with a couple of things. Anyway, usually my memory is like a trap, you know, but today it's more not quite like that. Anyway, we got some good stuff lined up to talk about. Joel, you have brought us some great ideas on some future technology.
Yeah.
Talk to us about this lithium battery that MIT. You know, it must be fascinating to walk around MIT. If you watch the some of these campuses where all these really smart people are. I love the movie A Beautiful Mind. Did you see that movie?
Yes, I did. Twice.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yep, it was.
One of the best movies ever made, I think, and a true story too. It was just wonderful. But all the guys aren't seeing apparitions. They're most of these guys are, you know, we may have to lock them up at night, but they're pretty sane. But what's going on at MIT with regard to lithium batteries?
Well, first of all, let's just give if we can use the term, a shout out for MIT, because they are doing great world changing work. And to have that university, as part of the United States of America is just a true honor and a benefit.
And of course, then the nexus for the benefit of all that is in the technology transfer.
Absolutely huge. We talked about the liquid
partnership with businesses that actually make the transfer.
Yeah. So there are several examples. We'll talk about two MIT breakthroughs today. One of them, the students set up their own company. So they didn't even do the transfer. They said, the heck with it. We're going to do this.
Well, that's the way it ought to be in the 21st century.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's a couple of things about MIT. And then just remember, we talked about the liquid batteries last time that were so easy to make and enormously capable of handling huge amounts of electricity. Well, that's a battery you can't put in your car, right? What you want is a lithium battery for your car.
Mm-hmm.
Problem with lithium batteries has been that it takes a long time to charge them up, and they don't discharge. You know, if you need a burst of energy, you didn't want lithium. Because
slow in, slow out.
Exactly. But a lightweight and huge storage capacity. So, it had good stuff. Well, good old MIT folks said, I wonder if it's the lithium itself or if it's the materials that we put around the lithium battery that is causing this slow situation. So their researchers began to look at I'm going to use layman's terms, and I've given you the site so that people go and read it, but the coating around the lithium to separate the batteries, so they just don't, all the electricity doesn't drain out. Anyway, they looked at the coating and discovered that it was what was causing the slow load and unload. So they just changed the coating, and now it looks like 4 to 8 seconds is enough to charge your cell phone completely, and maybe 2 to 3 minutes for a car-sized package of lithium battery. Isn't that just staggering? With that,
so you could cross. You could cross the country with something like that. You could drive, and of course, depending on the capacity of the charge. It takes 4 to 6 minutes to put. It takes more, longer than that to fill your gas tank.
Exactly. It'll take you. It'll take you less time to charge your car than to get a cup of coffee and walk back out.
Wow.
Now there's a qualification there. You have to have a large copper wire sending the electricity into your car, because you can't do it with a teeny little wire. You know, you're moving
right.
a lot of electrons. But
are we talking 12 gauge, 10 gauge?
Oh, I think the size of your thumb.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. Kind
that's
of
like
stuff.
Double aught. That's double aught.
It's big. But here's the deal, Jim, that's so cool. It means the gas stations don't go away.
Right.
Because
they become part of the electric grid.
Exactly. And by the way, what's underneath the gas station? Those those liquid batteries I was
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah.
Charge those up at night.
Ah. Replace the gas tanks with those big gas storage tanks with those big lithium batteries. How about that?
With the liquid batteries, because they're so cheap.
Oh, the liquid. Yeah.
Now we start to see the system.
Fascinating. This is the future, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it right here on the Small Business Advocate Show. 22. Stay with us. I get up and nothing gets me down. Little Van Halen bringing us back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Joel Barker, the author of Five Regions of the Future. His newest video, his newest film, ladies and gentlemen, is Innovation at the Verge, and you need to check it out. And Joel, tell us how we can find those, your books and your film.
Well, if you just go to joelbarker.com and right up by my picture, that's where I put the most current stuff. They can click on that. My good news blog is there. You know, I write the good news stuff for dads and moms who want to share good news with their kids.
Right.
So some of the stuff we talk about on your show, Jim, I don't put on there because it's not good news, but it's news.
Yeah.
And then they can get to the video that way. And also, I'm trying to remember what else I have up there these days. But that's basically the two things that are.
So check that out, and joelbarker.com and all the other stuff there. Joel, can they still buy your Paradigm book and video there? Folks?
Yes, they can't through joelbarker.com, but if they go to starthrower.com.
Oh, starthrower.com.
Yeah.
Folks, I still want people to know about your Paradigm. That film, Paradigm, the Business of Paradigms, is, if I remember the correct title, that is still a watershed work that I still want people to know about. So folks, check that out. Joel, anything else on the...
Amazon carries it. You know, it's
okay.
Never been out of print. So.
Good. Not the book and the video too, by the way. Joe, anything new? Anything else on the batteries that we want to talk about? Anything that was fascinating? What about this traveling wave reactor?
Yeah.
What is that all about?
This is a big deal. In a sense, when we talk batteries, we're talking very personal, right? It's my cell phone, it's my car. Well, the other thing that we've been worried about is a large energy source that doesn't produce CO2. And, of course, anybody who's been following the field says, well, that's nuclear reactors.
Right.
The problem is nuclear reactors have a lot of bad karma that comes with them.
Right.
Well, there's a little company out in the state of Washington that has developed a new thing called a traveling wave nuclear fission. It's fission reactor that goes at the whole process in such a novel and unique way that it changes the paradigm, basically. Let me give you a quick, it's my thumbnail, but again, we have the reference that I've sent to you, Jim, so they can click on that and read it in detail.
Right.
What they figured out was that we have a whole bunch of what's called U-238, which is uranium that's non-fissile, and you can't get a reaction out of it. However, if you put it up against some uranium-235, which is creating heat through fission, the extra neutrons convert the U-238 to U-239, which is also known as plutonium.
Hmm.
Now, plutonium has got a horrible black mark record.
Weapons
because
grade.
It has a very long half-life, hundreds of thousands of years half-life, and you can make bombs out of it.
Yes.
Well, here's what they've done. They basically, if you think about a sandwich, they've created a layer of U-235, a layer of U-237, and what happens, the U-235 creates the plutonium, right?
In the middle.
In the middle, it burns down. It produces heat. It is used as fuel instantly and converted from plutonium to another radioisotope that then works its way through. So literally, you set up this sandwich of material with the hot stuff at one end, and over 35 years, it works through the sandwich so that you don't have reloading, you don't have plutonium.
Wow. Is it still volatile? Do you still have to pack it in water and all that?
Well, you want to because you're taking the heat out.
Yeah, I got you. You're transferring,
you do
right?
All of those things.
That's the transfer medium, right?
Yep, but for the first time, you're talking about...
So net out why we should all be happy about this as consumers?
Because there's a whole bunch of U-238 sitting out there that nobody knows what to do with because it doesn't have any value right now.
It's not beneficial.
Now.
So now we can take that and,
pounds.
And make a more efficient and less dangerous
reactor. Yeah. So that the plutonium is created and used. So there's never a lot of it. But the comment from, an MIT professor overviewing this is we need only one enrichment plant. Those are plants that make U-235. Listen to this. One enrichment plant per planet.
Wow. What?
Yeah. That's all you need to get the process started.
Folks, this is why I've said for a long time, Joel, I've been saying that if this country would really put their mind to it, and if the government would focus on promoting innovation and less on punishing consumption, if we would promote innovation, promote the entrepreneurial minds of America, the United States could own the 21st century economy just in alternative fuel applications.
Jim, I want to phrase that slightly differently because we've got to be very careful about what we're promoting. We should be promoting development, not just rampant growth.
No, I'm talking about innovation, though.
We want innovation to let us use the resources of the planet.
I agree.
More wisely and intelligently.
Let's promote that in the interest of entrepreneurship and innovation, not by punishing consumption. And we can do those at the same time. We can change our consumption habits and promote innovation at the same time without being punitive.
Yeah.
And without wrecking the economy. I apologize. I know you and I sometimes don't agree on that particular issue, but I think that's what's important. Joel, in 30 seconds before we go to the break, Is America really ready, though, to ramp up nuclear?
I think with the CO2 data coming in, we don't have a choice.
Have we still gotten over the Three Mile Island jitters? I mean, did we really? Is that okay now?
Here's what I look at: how many people died at Three Mile Island?
None.
How many people died on the road the same day?
42,000 that year.
A year, right? And so, you know, we have to be careful.
I'm with you.
Arsenic and cyanide. It's the same thing. It's poisonous material that does good things.
I agree 100%. This is something we got to get over, folks. And I'm ready for it myself. Tintil going to be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about capitalism. He calls it capitalism 2.0. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog, my knowledge base. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at Jim Blassingame. So check that out. Joe Barker is our guest, our good friend. We're talking about some things that are coming at us in the future. One other quick thing, Joel. You report that MIT is also coming up with an electricity-producing shock absorber. So Joel, does this mean that if I'm running out of energy in my car, I just turn down a bumpy road and it charges me up and I can go farther? Is that what that means?
Actually, that's true. The rougher the road, the more electricity this pumps. If people just think quickly, a shock absorber basically has fluid, right?
Right.
And you move it through two chambers, through small holes. And so you have to press it through there, and that causes the absorption of the shock. Well, what they've done is just diverted that high-pressure oil through a teeny little generator. It's really a great idea when you think about it. So the bumpier the road, the harder the generator turns, the more electricity it produces.
Well, it's similar to a hydro turbine.
Yeah,
for hydro turbine for hydroelectric electricity.
That's exactly what it is, except it's miniaturized, and the spinning of the turbine creates the resistance of the oil, which creates the shock absorption.
Or no different from a windmill or anything else. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and somebody said, why are we just heating up this oil? Let's spin something with it, right?
Right.
Anyway, they started their own company, way to go, guys, Levant Manufacturing, and the Humvees. The U.S. Army's looking at it with the Humvees.
I'll be darned.
Because they do go over rough territory.
Right, right. Very interesting. Okay, let's talk about this other thing, this Rules for Capitalism 2.0. Set this up for us, Joel.
Well, the one I want to talk about.
This is non-technology, by the way, folks.
Exactly. We talk technology, but this is ideas that set the rules for the next 20 to 25 years. And by the way, when you set rules, you're creating a new paradigm. Nassim Taleb, who wrote Black Swan, which I recommend everybody should read, said there are some new rules now that we've done the stupid things that we need to do. And I'll give you a couple of them, then we invite... I think people should go and read the list of 10 that he created, right? Rule number one, what is fragile should break early while it is still small. And the second part of that rule, nothing should ever become too big to fail.
Right.
So he said, check this. You know, remember we were talking about the stress test right now?
The bank stress test?
You do the stress test while you're small, not while you're big.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Number two, and this one, you will like.
And by the way, this tracks with Edward Deming's quality principles, which he said the quality should be fixed at the headwaters, not at the end, should not to be culled once it's already made.
Yeah, ain't it the truth?
Yeah. So go ahead.
Rule number two: no socialization of losses. That is, the government shouldn't pick up or protect. And, oh, by the way, no privatization of gains. That is, if the government does pick up the bill, they should get the profits.
Okay, and but so say the first part again.
No socialization of loss.
Meaning what the government... You're talking about don't do what the government's doing right now, basically.
He's saying we shouldn't have done that.
Yes, all right, I'm with
whatever
him on that. Go ahead.
Well, listen to this. Whatever needs to be bailed out should be nationalized.
Okay.
Whatever does not need to be bailed out should be free, small, and risk-bearing. We have managed to combine the worst of capitalism and socialism.
Right, exactly. I agree with that. I completely agree with that. All right, go ahead.
Exactly that. Okay, number three. People who are driving the school bus blindfolded and crashing it should never be given a new bus.
And that's we can point to industry and government on that one.
Exactly. We did
the people who created Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac should not be allowed to make up the new rules.
Exactly. Because all they're going to do is cover their you know what. Number four. This is funny because we kind of talked about this in reverse. Do not let someone making an incentive bonus manage a nuclear plant or your financial risk. In other words, take the bonus system out of it because they will take much higher risks if there's a bonus involved in the risk than if there isn't. But, you know, you think about that. You hire thoughtful people who are not looking for billions of dollars in return but happen to like to do that work.
Yep, yep.
You pay them a decent salary, but you don't pay them a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Very
this is what I love.
We got one time for one more.
Yep, this one. It was a good one to wrap up on because there's five more they can then read. Counterbalance complexity with simplicity. Complexity comes from globalism. Don't make complex financial systems when you're already in it.
Occam's razor, the simplest solution is usually the best.
Yep. So here what we're having offered to us here are some new rules that that our congressmen should read, legislators should read, and our financiers should read.
Right. Hey, Joel, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. It's fascinating stuff.
My pleasure.
Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen. JoelBarker.com. Check it out. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.